they could ask God, then what would that be? What would it look like? And the question that we're going to look at today is, what must you do before you can receive the Holy Spirit? Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, hold on, Pentecostal pastor, he's at it. I can assure you that this card here is not my handwriting, mostly because you can make out the words that's written on it, you know, as well. But I think when we're asking this question, what must you do before you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, we maybe need to backtrack a little bit and ask another few questions there to help us get to the point of understanding what we need to do before you can receive the Holy Spirit. You know, we serve a God who wants to turn our question marks into exclamation marks, statements of His love, statements of His goodness into and over our lives. So if we're going to know what it is to be able to receive the Holy Spirit, we need to know what it is to be able to enter into a personal relationship with God as our Father, with Jesus Christ as our Savior, in order to receive the Holy Spirit. So I wonder if you'd turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Because it tells us what the whole purpose of our Christian life is all about. God wants to help us to get the most out of our Christian life and our Christian experience. So Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 tells us the very essence and core of what life and what faith is all about. Here are the words that it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the bedrock of our life. That is the truth of God's word. Everything that we do, who we are, everything is going to flow from and be built upon that foundational truth. Let's just read it again. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what do you need to do to be able to receive the Holy Spirit? You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You need to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. So that to me speaks of three things and perhaps three areas that you need to be thinking of in your life in order for your life to be ready to receive the Holy Spirit. Surrender, declaration, resurrection. Surrender in that we would make Jesus, you know, it says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. What does Lord mean? That he's your king, that he's your boss, that he's your hashtag number one. Whatever way and reference that you want to make it, he's top of the pile, king of the hill, A number one. But that he takes supremacy in first place, in priority within your life. That you have, figuratively speaking, that you have bowed your knee before Jesus in the same way that people would have bowed before the king, would have said, Jesus, you're my king. That we would have come with our life and we would have offered our life to Jesus and said, would you take my life and would you make something of it? That we've surrendered our life. And the place that we do that is at the foot of the cross, where we come to that place of recognizing this historical figure of Jesus Christ is truly God's Son, who came from heaven with the sole purpose to rescue humanity, to pay the price for all the wrong that we could have ever done, all the wrong that we do, all the wrong that we will do. When we come and recognize that when Jesus shed his blood, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That's why in the Old Testament, you've got all the animals that would be killed and their blood would be shed as something of cost, of something of worth that would be given that says, I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. And as the book of Hebrews described Jesus as the once and for all sacrifice, he shed his blood on the cross so that we could receive God's pardon. We need to surrender to Jesus. It's the first thing that we need to do if we want to receive the Holy Spirit. Number two is that we need to declare. That means we need to tell, we need to talk, we need to shout, we need to let folks know in whatever way that we would be able to do that, that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Confess with our mouth. That means we need to talk and we need to tell. There is something, you know, some people would say, oh, faith is just a private matter. Not according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it isn't. It's a public matter. You need to be able to declare and say, Jesus is my Lord. Now, there are explosive words to speak. They speak of his lordship over our life, but also in some quarters, and again, not want to make too many references to things going on in the world, we're seeing that for some people, they're paying a very heavy and high price for saying, Jesus is my Lord. We should be grateful for the privilege and the freedom that we continue to enjoy, although there are some levels of persecution for the Christian church in this country of trying to shut them down, but we need to all the more begin to declare and to say Jesus is our Lord, to confess publicly that Jesus is our Lord. That's the second thing that we need to do. We need to surrender. We need to declare. Some of you are saying, man, he's rattling through these 3 points. We're going to be done in 5 minutes. I don't want to shortchange you this morning. There will be more. Don't worry. Number three is a belief in the resurrection. Believe that Jesus came. We believe that Jesus died as our sin sacrifice. We believe that Jesus is the conqueror of death, that Jesus is the savior of souls, that Jesus, who was dead, is now alive and is seated in heaven, you know, where he sits at the right hand of the Father in majesty and in splendor, that he could not be kept dead, that he could not be kept captive, that he is alive. And because he's alive, then we can know freedom, that we can know joy, that we can know peace, that we can know the eternal security of knowing God as our loving Heavenly Father. Church, that was a chance for an amen, a praise the Lord, a hallelujah, or even just a kind of grunt of saying I'm still alive. Not a snore, but a grunt. We were at a Fringe show yesterday, and the guy in front of us let one snore out. And he gets such an almighty dig in the ribs from his significant other. He nearly rocketed up out the seat. You have my permission, if anybody snores next to you, to let them know that they can't sleep in church. Some of you look at that now. Give me some matchsticks so I can stay awake. But we need to have a belief in the resurrection. It's the thing that marks Jesus out from every other deity or one who claimed to be God. So that Jesus said that he was the resurrection and the life, that he laid down his life, but he would take it up again in 3 days' time. Jesus, who was seen before a crowd of 500 people at once, the scripture records, the resurrected Jesus, the Jesus who could walk through locked doors, the Jesus who could say to Thomas, you know, come on then, put your hands in the place where the wounds have been, where the nails were driven in, where the spear was put in my side, that the Jesus who spent time with his disciples and then who then went into heaven, but I don't want to get on to Acts chapter 1 and 8 just too soon. So surrender. If you flick back in your Bible to John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11, we're going to just pause there for a moment in our journey of thinking what it is that we need to do before we can receive the Holy Spirit. The short answer is that we don't need to do anything because Jesus has done it all. But the real answer is that there are some things that we need to do in our hearts and lives that also prepare and make us ready to receive. We need to be surrendered. John 16, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples in the night where he's betrayed and going to be tried and then going on to the crucifixion. And he's talking to them about the fact that he is going to die and he's going to be taken from them. In verse 7 it says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Because unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. Goes on in verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak in his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and will make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. The word for counselor in some versions of Scripture is also there as the helper. In the good news, we think about what it is to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to know, what do we need to do? We also need to think about, well, who or what is it that we are receiving? We're receiving help from heaven. Isn't that good news? Often you're told that God's out to get you. You know, almost like the cosmic cop that's out to batter you every time you step out of line. But God wants to help you. Jesus is sending the helper, the counselor. The Greek word that's used there is paraclete. Parakletos means someone who comes alongside to help. Who didn't have a lump in their throat during the Commonwealth Games in the medal ceremonies? Eh? I mean, to be honest, it didn't really matter what country it was. You just like, oh, look at that. Yeah. Who knows who Mikhail Huggins is? Who knows who Mikhail Huggins is? He's a gold medal winner. He's a gold medal winner. He's a gold medal winner from the Commonwealth Games. Mikhail Huggins, anybody know? Starter for 10? No? Mikhail Huggins is the guide for Libby Clegg, the Paralympic athlete that won. The guide, the helper, the paraclete. Anybody know who Craig McLean is? Now, some of you might make an educated guess now. Yeah? Craig McLean and Neil Fahey? The cycling, that's right. Two gold medals. And some of you didn't know who he was. You need to watch more telly. No, no. Mom, pastor says I've got to watch more telly. Everything in context, class. Everything in context. Craig was the pilot. Craig was a parakletos for Neil to help him get round. Mikhail was a parakletos, the helper, the guide to help him get round. The Holy Spirit is your parakletos, your helper, your pilot, your counselor, who wants to say, would you take my hand? Come on, we're going to run some places. Who maybe wants to say, do you want to get the back of my bike? Because we've got a race to run. We've got a race to win in your life. But we need to be surrendered to the Parakletos, one who comes alongside to help. What would have happened if Neil Fahey had said, actually, I want to go in the other direction? But some of us do that to God, when the Holy Spirit's saying, come on, we'll go this way. What would have happened if you know, Mikhail's facing that direction and all of a sudden Libby Clegg gives it, I just want to stop for a wee minute. When, on your marks, get set. And she's like, no. Some of us do that with the Holy Spirit. We need to get ready to run, church. I think there's a wee word from God in there that's not in my notes. Jesus said, it's good for you that I go. Also meaning it's good for you that he comes. The Holy Spirit is good for you. Do you know the Holy Spirit is involved in your life prior to and in the process of you coming to faith? And some people, when they think about the Holy Spirit, they need to do to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And honestly, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to increase the relationship of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because he's already been involved in your life. You see, who's the one that makes you aware of the fact that you're a sinner in the eyes of God? Is it your friends? Well, maybe. Especially your family. You're rubbish. You're a sinner. But inside, when you know that you're far from God and that you need to do something about it, it's the Holy Spirit who comes knocking on the door of your life. Who is it that brings you to the foot of the cross and gives you that glimpse, that revelation of Jesus? The one who died for you, the expression of God's love. It's the Holy Spirit. It says there, doesn't it, that he'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and also judgment. Make them aware that they need to get their lives right with God. And you might be in this place today and your life isn't right with God. The good news is that there is a way for you to be right with God. Pray a prayer, invite Jesus to become boss, Lord, number one, surrender. to him. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That declaration in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and I knew as a good Pentecostal preacher you'd be expecting me to go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. See, Jesus wants to help you to declare and to demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means when you're at your work tomorrow and somebody says, "So what did you do yesterday?" You're not ashamed to say, "I was in church praising Jesus. Do you want to come this week? We've got lots of stuff on and you can come on Sunday." You know, you're not ashamed when you go into your family or your neighbor and you say, "I've got two tickets for Fiona Crow on Friday night, sharing her," you're not going to say sharing her faith, but you know that's what it is, you want to come because you've got a confidence that Jesus wants to help you to be a witness to him. When you find that person who's functioning on a Monday morning, but inside their life is just shriveled up because of all the pressures and all the weights, or maybe just all the partying of the weekend, and they're looking for truth, looking for reality, that you've got a confidence that says, "I can tell you where to find that, and his name is Jesus." But you need to surrender, you need to believe, you need to declare, you need to believe in the resurrection. See, the Holy Spirit, the primary reason that the Holy Spirit is given to us isn't actually for us to be speaking in tongues. The primary reason that the Holy Spirit is given is so that we would be his witnesses. Now, the gift of tongues isn't something that we decry or we put down or poo-poo or anything like that. No, we're Pentecostals. We'll get the chandeliers out and we will swing from them. You know, we'll be quite happy for that. But the reason is so that we would be witnesses. So that we could tell of the goodness and the wonders and the love and the mercy and the power and the peace of God that rests in our hearts and that rests in our life. Surrender, declaration, a belief in the resurrection. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 says this: "It's the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. If he's living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in." Thanks, Samuel. Who lives in? Who lives in you? Who lives in you? Nudge a person next to you and say, "The Holy Spirit lives in you." The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that was active, engaged that first resurrection Sunday morning, that touched the body of Jesus, lives in you. Church, that's good news. That is good news. Therefore, the power of God wants to enable you to live a life that is full on for God, with a real-time experience of the love and the mercy and the freedom that Jesus won for you on the cross. But that's only half of it. It's not just a real-time experience for the love and the mercy. It's also a real-time experience of the power of God that's in your life. Everybody say power. For others, living out his story in front of all people and being able to know God's help, to know God's, the key word is enabling, that the Holy Spirit wants to enable you to be all that God has planned and purposed for you to be. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. We're not even what it is to receive him yet. He's our enabler, but some other roles that the Holy Spirit can build into our lives, and let me just give you them as headings this morning so you can think about them later on. And this is who you're receiving. You know, when you're asking, "What it is that I need to do to receive the Holy Spirit," then you're asking to invite all these God qualities into your life, and the Holy Spirit wants to help you achieve all those God qualities that's in your life. He wants to be your guide. John chapter 16 and verse 13, to guide you into all truth, which means we don't need to be sitting there confused about where to go or what's going to happen or anything like that. We can put our trust in Jesus. We can say, "Jesus, would you lead me? Can you guide me through today? Can you guide me through my life with confidence?" That the Holy Spirit is going to enable you to bring glory to Jesus. John chapter 16 and verse 14, by taking what was Jesus's and making it known to us. Mysteries of heaven made known to us. through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Not so we can say, man, we've got some superior knowledge and revelation, so that we can say to some other people, come on, let me tell you. Come on, let me show you the reality of God and His kingdom. John chapter 14, verse 26 says that the Holy Spirit will teach us. He will enable us to understand more about Scripture. Why? Because He's the author of Scripture. Understand more about Jesus, more about the things of God. We need to let Him teach us in our life. That when we invite the Holy Spirit to receive the Holy Spirit, that He wants to produce fruitfulness in our life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 speaks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, some God characteristics and God qualities. You read them later on. That wants to help you not live. And before it talks about some of the sins of the flesh, how they would be replaced by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit is described as being the seal, the deposit that guarantees our inheritance. When it says, but we who once were far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit just wants to be the stamp, the hallmark of God. I take my wedding ring off inside it, other than Heather and Gordon 2896 that's inside it. It will be some little hallmarks that prove that the reality that it is gold and I didn't just get it out of Christmas cracker. You know, there is the hallmark that's there that proves that it's genuine, that it's real. And the Bible describes the presence and the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life, boom, as being like the seal, the stamp of God. In the same way that kings would have had hot wax on a document, they would have taken their ring, their signet ring with their emblem, and they would have stamped it down and put their seal upon it, like a legal document that would have said, this is my mark, this is my ownership that is on this and that is over it. So God comes and He puts His seal over your life. It's the Holy Spirit. But it's a deposit that guarantees your inheritance. I don't know how many of you have had to go and pay a deposit on something, then come back to get the rest of it. Normally, if I'm buying computer games for my son. You know, it's one of these advanced sale things that's got to be done. You've got to go, you maybe got to pay a pound or a fiver or even a tenner. Makes you weep, doesn't it? You know, you've got to go and pay that down. But you don't get anything at that point. Just a receipt that says on that day and on that time, the fullness of what's due you, you're going to be able to go and get. For one time, I was daft enough, foolish enough, or such a good father enough to get up at midnight for the release of the game so that he had it first thing in the morning. Sad, yeah. It was mostly because all his pals had said that their dads were going to get it and be there. And then, yeah, who was the only one that the game first? Yeah. M-U-G-D-A-D. It doesn't matter. But the Holy Spirit is the seal, is the deposit, our guarantee of our inheritance that is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And He wants to be involved in your life. Are you happy about that, church? Good. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you with some gifts that are spiritual gifts. We read about them in a number of lists. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11 lists what we would call the classic gifts of the Holy Spirit, of tongues and interpretation of miracles, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and all those kind of things that's in there. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8 gives a similar list. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 talks about some life-calling gifts of apostles, pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers that would be there. And equipping the church, and the Holy Spirit wants to do that. He wants to give gifts from heaven into the church. If it's not too crude a way to put it, tools to get the job done. Because God wants to enable you. He wants to help you to be all that you can be for Him. And who is it that gives us this gift? Receiving the Holy Spirit. Who baptizes us, as the Bible describes it, baptized, being immersed and soaked and plunged and delved in. Who fills us with the Holy Spirit, enables us to receive the Holy Spirit, is Jesus. I want some Bible verses for that. John chapter 1, verses 33 to 34. John the Baptist speaks of Him in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. says, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you're going to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Disciples, wait in Jerusalem. And here's the things we maybe need to do to be able to receive the Holy Spirit. Let me just read this passage, Acts 1, verses 4 to 14, if you want to follow along, and then chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. On one occasion, when he was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They're looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Flip over to chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest in each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. It goes on to tell the rest of the story. So some things that need to be done, that we establish what it is to receive the Holy Spirit. So we've established that the Holy Spirit is active in our life, in our run-up to that point of surrender and coming to God, because he wants to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. So he's knocking on the door of our life, and we welcome his activity and his ministry into our life. So already in relationship with the Holy Spirit as he introduces us to Jesus at the cross, our Savior. So we then surrender, we declare, and we believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead then dwells in each and every one of us. We understand that the reason that he's given is to help us in this task of life, and in particular so that we might be able to declare with our lips the truth and the reality, to be witnesses to what we've seen and experienced in our life of who Jesus is. And so the disciples wait. And some things that we can do to prepare our hearts and prepare our lives to be filled or to receive a fresh filling from the Holy Spirit, because Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says that we're to be being filled with the Holy Spirit, an ongoing experience. Yeah? One baptism, many fillings. The first thing that they did, they paused, the disciples. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, that they waited for the gift that the Father promised. They paused. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, receive a fresh and fill in the Holy Spirit, you need to pause. You need to wait. Spoken about that the last couple of weeks from Isaiah 55, and also last week speaking about prayer, of what it is to wait in the presence of God. If time wasn't going on, I'd sit down there for another couple of minutes again like I did the other week and just wait. Called time, waiting on God. They were involved in activity. Second thing that they did, we read again in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, they prayed. So they're pausing and they're praying. They've got an activity of asking and of seeking God. Matthew 7 and 7, we spoke about that prayer, ask, seek, and knock. The door will be open to you. That they are a people of purpose. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, that says that in the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. That they've got a purpose. When they come to prayer, they're not just footering about. There is a unity, there is a togetherness, there is a positive Pentecostal peer pressure that's going on amongst them as they come together with this purpose of saying, Jesus has said it, we're going to be obedient, we're going to wait, and we're going to press into this, we're going to pray, and we're going to be together in one place. Suppose you could say that they've prioritized in terms of their seeking and being obedient. And then the P, the power of God, touches their life. Because it says in Acts 1 and verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You know, with our reserved Western attitude and character, we would love, wouldn't it, just be when the Holy Spirit kind of comes on us, that it would be just a nice wee reserved, quiet kind of, oh, that's a wee flutter. Oh, isn't that nice? But if you've ever received an electric shock, you know, I saw in Edinburgh Evening News or the paper that there was somebody in Leith whose house was hit by the lightning on Friday. And the effects of that. Somebody in Pilrig Street showing the effects of what had happened in their house. If you've ever been touched. Now, when I was 16, 17, we'd somebody in our Boys Brigade company just started working with for the gas board, and he was a very naughty guy. He had an ignition switch. A wee click, yeah. Not saying any more about that, but knowing what it is to be touched by some power. Know what it is to be touched by some power spiritually as well. Things change. It's not necessarily a nice, quiet, reserved. You know, but if we're going to let God do things his way, then we need to allow God to do things his way. Now, there are times where God comes and is very gracious and it is nice and quiet and gentle, but when God fills us with his Holy Spirit, when he begins to stir things up and it's the overflow of the activity and the electricity of heaven, the power of God that is resting on us, then very often there are manifestations, very often there are tongues, interpretations, and things like that that happen. As is seen here, you know, they weren't signing up for blowing of a violent wind and tongues of fire resting in their head and strange languages that they had never learned before to come. They were just waiting for power. They didn't know what it was going to look like. We just need to wait for the power of God regardless of what it looks like, church. Because what happened from the power then came proclamation. That people overheard them praising God in their own languages and said, what's this? I want to know more. Proclamation that was both witness and that was worship. See, the Holy Spirit wants to help you in your witness, and the Holy Spirit wants to help you in your worship. Because they overheard them praising God. What if you were so full of God that you just went out of this place and you're just praising God? Whoever the last song is that Fiona and the worship team are going to lead us in, that you're just so full of God. That tomorrow morning when you're at your work or when you're at the shops or when you're amongst people or friends or family, all of a sudden you just begin praising God and worshiping God at the top of your voice, and hands are raised, and you know, you're speaking in tongues and glory to God, hallelujah, and things like that. See, they weren't too bothered about what they were going to look like. Maybe that tomorrow that God just drops a little nudge into your heart and into your spirit, go and tell that person that I love them. See, that person that's sick, why don't you go and pray for them, lay hands on them in the name of Jesus? Why don't you praise me? So there's some things, you know, what must you do before you can receive the Holy Spirit? To confess, you need to declare, you need to believe in the resurrection. We know who it is that we're speaking to or want to receive and who we're going to receive from. And able to do it, we need to pause, we need to pray, we need to have a purpose, we need to prioritize seeking it, we need to expect the power, and then we need to be involved in proclamation that is both worship, and that is witness. Now, it'd be wrong of me to speak on this and not give opportunity, wouldn't it? Right where we're at just now, let's just close our eyes. Maybe in your life right now, well, do you know, whether you've never done it before, whether you need to reaffirm it, why don't you just reaffirm the fact that Jesus is your Lord? Why don't you place him and establish him firmly in the throne of your life right now? saying, Jesus, you're my Lord. Believe that you're God's Son. Believe that you died on the cross, and I believe that you rose from the dead. Believe that I'm forgiven because you died for me, Jesus. Believe that I'm a friend of Father God because you died for me, Jesus. Why don't you just take a moment just to speak out and to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Out loud, church, come on. I'm going to lead you into some stuff in God right now. You believe it in your heart, you've prayed it in your heart, now you need to declare it out and say, Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, you're my Savior. Jesus, you're my rescuer. Jesus, you're my filler and baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you want to equip me. Thank you that you want to fill me. Thank you that you want to help me every single moment of every single day to be a witness, to declare and to demonstrate the kingdom of God. I'm going to invite Fiona just to come back and maybe just to play as we have these just couple of moments of just receiving from God. We've already received from God this morning. I'm aware of that. But, you know, in these moments, some people, you know, I'm assuming that this question was submitted because of someone at least, or a number of people that are wanting to know what it is to receive the Holy Spirit. But again, you invite him to come. Begin to pray, begin to wait. Father, I pray in this place right now for every person who is seeking that they will be filled based on the promises of your word. Father, I pray that you would pour forth from heaven an infilling and an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for fresh fire from heaven. Lord, I pray for fresh power to witness. Lord, to declare and to demonstrate the kingdom of God that would begin to rest upon your people right now. Father, I pray for filling to come. Lord, I pray for sensations right now, people of feeling filled up in the inside. Lord, the Bible says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Lord, I pray right now that hearts would be filled. Lord Jesus, you said that out of the innermost being that rivers of living water would come that spoke of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that in people's bellies right now, there would be rivers of living water that would begin to stir, rivers of living water that would begin to flow and gush forth. Father, I pray for people in this place that are already baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues. Lord, I pray for a fresh infilling in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that lips would be unlocked. Lord, I pray that tongues would be loosed right now with heavenly praises that they have never learned, heavenly declarations of who you are. Lord, that they would be edified, that they would be built up in the name of Jesus, as Scripture speaks about, as our soul cries out and declares in a heavenly language that Jesus is Lord. Come on, church, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit already, I want to encourage you to speak in other tongues. To not be ashamed and to not be afraid. Jesus.